My name is Nina Gilligan, and this Manchester tart is great for a brew and a gossip, but too much of it will probably give you heartburn.
Hi, I'm Naomi Cooper, and I've had to switch to champagne because I always spill the tea. Bonded by their shame, British comedians Nina Gilligan and Naomi Cooper invite you to join The Real Housewives Guilty Secret Fan Club, a podcast that serves as a non-judgmental safe space for all the intelligent, accomplished people out there who just can't stop thinking about Erica's earrings, Luann's singing, and Crystal's ugly leather pants. So grab a glass of rosé and own it as we bring the bunny and mention it all. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 15th, count 'em, episode of the Real Housewives Guilty Secret Fan Club.
My name is Nina Gilligan, and she is...
Naomi Cooper, and you're very welcome, as you always are.
You're more than welcome to not only our podcast, but what is my birthday festival?
Yes, happy birthday to Nina. Happy birthday yesterday, but she's really dragging it out. Like a true woman.
I know. I think it's my third or fourth day, and this evening there will be a closing ceremony.
Yes, with Lady Gaga.
With Lady Gaga, who will
sing Imagine
it out.
At the piano. It's going to be beautiful.
I know. It's going to be a gorgeous thing. I think I do deserve it now because I am not in my triple 20s. You can fuck off with that. I'm in my double 20s plus 10, which is also, it's also pretty.
It's a big birthday.
Well, no, plus 10, plus 3.
Right, there we go.
Yeah, it's pretty horrifying.
Try and lock off 3 in front of me. I'll catch you every time.
Yeah. It's pretty horrifying, I have to say.
It gets a bit easier, though, doesn't it? I mean, I wouldn't go back to my 20s now for love nor money.
No, I'm trying to spin that the 50s is the new 40s, but I think we're all at it when it comes to that, aren't we?
We all are a bit, but I mean, we're following the ladies' example, aren't we?
We really are. I do look at Karen Huger.
Yes.
Sex goddess. Did you see her doing those little bikini shots on the beach?
I did. And better I was shape like, than I've ever been in.
I know.
Sticks in my craw.
I know. I looked at her and just thought, is that real? Did she do that all by herself, do you think?
I mean, even if she gets a bit of help, there must be a certain amount of work going in too.
What a bod.
Yeah.
Very impressive. I mean, Tom Schwartz has not been working on his beach body this year. God bless him. Love a dad bod.
He's not really been working on anything though, has he?
No.
He's kind of given up a little bit, hasn't he?
Neither on his personality or his body.
No.
But
he doesn't believe in development or growth.
I know. My guilty secret this week is that I did one of those things, you know, where you look at a picture of yourself and you go, oh, Jesus Christ, that's not me. That's the picture. That's the Dorian Gray portrait from the attic.
Yeah, I've got a few of those.
I don't know whether it was taken at a strange angle. And I'm not body shaming here because women are beautiful in all shapes and sizes. But there is a certain weight that I get to where I start to feel like I don't look like myself anymore.
Yeah, I have that. The alarm bell weight, I call it.
Yeah.
Where something has to be done.
Something has to be done. And then I have on Audible, Dr. Michael Mosley, that smug prick, a.k.a.
Oh, God, and what's he been telling you to do?
He's been telling me to eat 800 calories a day and that this
just sounds so dangerous.
I know. He's told me that this is perfectly healthy and medically proven and that a little bit of a crash diet won't do you any harm. And in fact, in many cultures, it is considered healthy.
Is this 800 calories a day for a prolonged period of time or 800 calories one day?
You can do it 5-2. So you can do it for 2 days.
And have 2 days off. Okay.
But or you can do it for the full 7, which is what I have done in the last week.
And how's it worked for you?
Lost 6 pounds.
Wow. Can't argue with those results.
I know.
Are you close to death?
I'm quite depressed.
Has this weight loss come at a cost? Yeah, exactly.
I'm quite depressed.
I look fabulous, but I hate life.
Yeah, I'm quite depressed. My husband has made me an orange juice to start the day. And now every time, so I can't eat. So I also have a feeding window, like some kind of dog.
A little pigeon.
Yeah, I have a feeding window. And mine's between 12 and 8. And every time I start to feed myself come 12 o'clock, my stomach's like, what the hell is going on now?
Right, panic.
Yeah. So he's made me a little glass of freshly squeezed orange juice and I've just had a sip of it and my stomach's gone into absolute meltdown.
Oh, yeah.
It's
oh,
like, we can't start with fresh juice. You're going to have to...
You're going to have to warm that stomach up a bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's
800 calories, man. You have my respect.
Well, you know, to anyone listening who's thinking about doing it, please read the book, listen to the book. Don't be diving in with 800 calories. If you've ever had a sniff of an eating disorder, this is, you're not allowed.
Not the thing for you.
You're not allowed to do it.
Yeah,
it's really for people that have got either medical issues or quite a lot of weight to lose.
I always feel as well like, oh, you know, I have to be careful because I gig and, you know, I wouldn't want to faint on stage. And then I think what I've eaten in a classic day before I go on stage. It's like, I don't think you're going to fade away from the hunger, Naomi.
Yeah.
While you're on stage for 20 minutes.
Yeah,
I think you'll be okay.
Some people went down pits.
I only had McDonald's for lunch. Somebody hook me up to something.
I know. I need an IV. I've got 10 jokes to tell.
Oh, my gosh. Well, well done.
Thanks.
How is it nearly over?
I don't know. I don't know how long I'm going to continue with this madness. I'm sure we'll have some opinions from our fan clubbers.
Yeah, please do get in touch. Let us know what you think.
If you think this is absolute madness, I can guess what side you're going to fall on. Or if, in fact, you have tried the smug pricks diet.
It's the smug pricks diet, isn't it?
It really is.
I want to do it so I can tell people I've done it and piss them off.
Yeah, the man is everywhere, isn't he? He's popping up everywhere. Also, it seems that Google has listened to my Audible as well, because every time I bring up Google now, they're trying to sell me on will I pay £120 followed by £12 a week to have his app.
Oh, my God. That's a lot.
To perpetuate this nonsense indefinitely.
I did a juice fast once. And I lasted like 3 days. And then I was like...
On a juice fast.
Yeah. And I was like, this doesn't feel...
Do you remember the cider vinegar one?
Oh.
There was the cider vinegar one, wasn't there? I feel like that was late. That was late 90s.
What was the maple syrup one that Beyonce
does? The maple syrup one.
Cayenne pepper and maple syrup.
Yeah.
The lemonade diet. It's like, that's not lemonade. Lemonade's fun.
I've tried them all.
I haven't tried the cabbage soup diet because apparently it makes you quite antisocial to be around.
Yeah, I tried the cabbage soup diet. I've been through all the diets. It's like fashions, isn't it? Diets through the ages.
Yeah, because I don't want to just keto. Eat less and move more.
I want
somebody to give me a magic
skill. Keto diet.
Keto diet I quite like because you can have like bacon and eggs.
Oh, it just made me feel... It was too
high fat for me.
Yeah. And greasy.
Like the meat
I felt
sweats.
like I was a trucker. I basically felt like a trucker for three weeks.
Oh, yeah, I can totally see that.
I felt like I should just be wearing a white
vest
with a bit
diet.
Of egg rolling down the front.
Like PK.
Driving a truck.
Like PK, bit of food around your mouth.
Yeah. It's not a nice diet. You don't feel good after it. You smell, your breath stinks.
Yeah, that's true.
Like it smells like nail varnish remover.
Sort of weirdly acidic, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
and
not a good diet.
And any diet that says don't eat too much fruit and vegetables.
Yeah.
That's your first red flag, really, isn't it?
Counterintuitive, like, I would say.
Don't eat anything healthy. Just, you know, if you fancy some fruit, eat another bit of bacon. Like, what?
Totally. The caveman diet.
Was that like the nuts and the seeds?
Yeah,
and...
anything that you can find and then occasionally a deer that you can, you know, bit of roadkill.
Only if you slay it yourself.
Only
with
if you
your
slay yourself,
or something.
Like a squirrel that you've knocked over.
Yeah, you can have that.
A badger.
Oh my God. That was the time I got TB.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was unconnected.
They're all mental. They're all nuts.
But for the first few days, you've got a little feeling of hope. Maybe this will be the one.
It's all about control, isn't it? It's just about getting back in control.
The thing is, what tickles you is that we all know the answer. Eat less, move more. Eat the right stuff, move more.
Yeah. Yeah. And why is that so hard?
It's so simple, and yet it's not what we want to hear. So we're like, no, there's one that allows me to eat like fat on a stick.
Yeah. Yeah.
And still lose 20 pounds in a week.
Yeah.
Like, no. You know what you need to do. Shut up and do it.
I know. Answers on a postcard. Preferably one I can eat.
As we talk about dramatic weight loss, shall we go over to Beverly Hills?
Yes.
Nay, Mum.
Don't know if you're okay, actually.
Nay, Mum.
Are you okay?
Nay, Mum.
Andy was mischievous, wasn't he? Starting with telling Kyle that Mo was coming. Good on you, Andy.
He's such a little shit stirrer, isn't he? I love Andy. Kyle visibly uncomfortable throughout this whole episode.
And had tried to control the narrative.
Very much had. And even admitted that she tries to control the narrative because she actually said she was annoyed that Dorit asked her about her marriage on camera.
Yeah.
So that's her trying to produce right there, isn't it?
And I would say, fellow fan clubbers, that we had called this out pretty early on in our analysis of this series, that we knew she was furious with Dorit.
Yeah.
Absolutely seething with her, wasn't she? So she's not seen her for 2 months. And first thing we hear before they even set foot on the set is that she's sent this very long, like, I love you, you're my friend, but I just don't think the reunion's the place to talk about my marriage. You know, I'm more than happy to talk about it with you after the reunion, but I just don't want you to mention it.
I see you did what I did and paused and read the whole long text message.
Yeah.
Good. I thought you would. I thought you would.
Yeah. So I wasn't going for the just bits that highlighted it.
No. I was like, hang on a second.
Let's go for a deep dive.
That was a desperate text message, wasn't it?
It was absolutely desperate. And
she called the show toxic at the end. Andy's not going to like that.
And also, I thought it was interesting that she did it in front of Erica. And Erica agreed that it was manipulative.
Manipulative, yeah.
Even though Erica's riding hard for Kyle at the moment. But I just think that that sort of relationship didn't really come to the fore, that it was so close until the end of the season. And I think that became close, I think, partially because Kyle let her go on stage at the Super Bowl.
She gave her her big...
the pretend
moment.
Super Bowl.
God, that was weird.
I know.
I still can't get over the fact that cost £400,000.
I know.
Sorry, dollars.
And like you said, and still yet so tacky.
So weird. Just any party that's in an empty stadium is going to feel kind of empty.
Exactly. Most parties, like the ratio of space to people is what makes a party feel good. If you've got very few friends, have it in the downstairs toilet.
Yes. Which I have done.
Yeah. Just make it feel cozy. You don't want a massive space, do you?
It's weird.
It's just, you're looking around at just shit loads of empty seats.
Yeah. It kind of reminded me of COVID.
Yeah. That was a COVID party, wasn't it? It was like
weird.
Distance.
Apparently Beyonce was there.
No.
I read this online. I'm hoping it's not true.
Beyonce was at that party and had to watch Erica.
I hadn't even put that together.
That would be like...
I'm going to have to Google this.
Me doing a gig being watched by Peter Kay.
Yeah, Peter Kay coming to a party and having to watch us. Can you imagine?
Oh, fuck me.
You'd be like, I'm right here.
That's an anxiety dream, that.
I'm just going to look it up because maybe it's bollocks.
That can't be true.
Can't be true, sure.
You can't be busting out your moves in front of the goddess herself, Beyonce, with your...
God, I can't see it online.
Because it wasn't unlike something that that Beyoncé would do, which was come in. I think Beyoncé's done that before, where she comes in like she's in a boxing ring, because that's what Erica did, didn't she? Wearing the boxer's outfit. I feel like it was a homage to Beyoncé. So for Beyoncé to be there would be the most cringeworthy moment in a performer's life. But then Erica has the ability to maybe rise to that occasion, in the sense that Erica would just say, well, this is my moment.
Oh, my God. It makes me really uncomfortable when Erica's taking herself really seriously. Yeah. When she's backstage about to go on and stuff like that. I'm just kind of like,
I want to do a prayer. I'm doing a prayer.
Can you guys just go and have fun on stage and not do all this serious?
I do not pray before I go on stage. Do you do anything weird?
Well, maybe if you did, you'd be a bit more successful.
Maybe I should pray before I go on stage. I asked Les, oh my God, let me get his name right. This is, used to be married to Amanda Holden.
Les Dennis.
Les Dennis used to have, oh God, let me get the names right. We're doing far too much. Dustin G. Les Dennis used to work with Dustin G a very long time ago.
Right.
That will be before your time. They were a double act.
Oh, yeah.
And I was on stage with him. And because I've asked this question before to people, is there any rituals you do before you go on stage? And one of my rituals, it's a bit weird, is I usually say silently to myself, to the audience, I love you.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's so nice. That's actually a really good idea.
So I tried to send out like positive vibes to the audience.
Some affection.
Yeah, some sort of affection to the audience, so I don't end up in that sort of space in my head where I'm having a fight with them.
Yeah, that's because actually a really good idea. I get the
because
the logic
I think, well, they've
that.
Paid to see you.
Yeah, they want to like you.
They want to like you. I want to like them. I want us to have a lovely interaction. And he always sends up a prayer to Justin. Dustin. I thought that was beautiful.
My only pre-show ritual is I go and sit on the toilet for a wee, even though I know I don't need to go.
But that's nice.
I need to go on stage knowing
I have
that
to
I've
say
done
Naomi,
everything to have an empty bladder.
That's very touching.
Thank you. That's my prayer.
Pray to the God of your bladders. Yeah, that it will hold out and carry you through. So, yeah, the whole thing with those two, I think that's been a late in the day with Kyle and Erica.
I also think, in fairness to Erica, the marriage stuff wasn't really coming out. I think as soon as the marriage stuff properly came out, Erica was there for her, in fairness.
Yes.
Because Carl was there for her.
Yeah.
But that's another example of how Carl wasn't being open through the whole season, because I don't think Erica really knew there was an issue with Carl's marriage.
No, I don't think she did. And I think she was completely transparent.
Some gossip out there.
Yeah, yeah, I think she was completely transparent about that, wasn't she? That she was just a bit blank when she first went in to talk to Kyle about that. She was like, I apologise to you that I didn't really understand what was going on.
I didn't pick up on that because you weren't being transparent. So. Yeah. I had no idea.
But, can we talk about Dorit being late and then she turned up in that dress?
Oh, yeah. Hello, hood.
Am I wrong? There was a touch of cultural appropriation.
Do you know what? It crossed my mind. It crossed my mind. But I'm not the most educated on these things. So I don't know if there is a cultural appropriation if you're going to wear a sort of head scarf. Hood type thing,
suggested. I think there was a suggestion of a cultural appropriation. Again, I'm not the most educated, but it didn't feel to me like it was a typical thing of a woman of her ethnicity would be wearing.
And I wonder if perhaps when they start getting into Dorit's cultural faux pas.
Yeah.
Somebody might bring that up. Either Garcelle or Crystal might actually go, look at what you're wearing today.
Yeah.
And let's keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, let's put a pin in that. But when she was asked about it, she just said fashion, fashion, fashion. And I do think that will be her reason for wearing it.
Absolutely.
And so her intention isn't to be offensive. But I wonder if there's anybody out there that's going,
That made because me uncomfortable.
We don't wear, like, for instance, like, I remember 20 years ago that there would be, you would wear sort of for fun, maybe you'd wear a bindi or something. You certainly wouldn't do that anymore.
Right, yeah.
Times have changed. And
or this, like getting your hair in cornrows or something.
Yeah, totally that. And I think times have changed and we understand that that's no longer appropriate.
This is everything with Dorit. The intentions, I don't think, ever malicious.
Yeah.
But it's she doesn't learn. Sutton learned.
Yeah.
She actually listened and learned and treads carefully now.
Yeah.
And even Kyle listened to what Garcelle had to say and applies that going forward. Dorit just constantly goes, I apologize, that was not my intention, and then does it again.
I know, 100%. But then Kyle, I thought, didn't, and can we talk about the child bride thing?
I'm glad she got called out on that because she seemed so baffled by that.
And I think we again, didn't we, on this podcast, we were both pretty appalled by
we were
that
like,
comment.
That's unforgivable in a way because how do you not know that connection, that you know what you're insinuating there. And she was 24 years old when she got married, which, to be honest, is not that young. It's certainly not a child. Even if she was 18, the comment's outrageous.
Yeah,
24, you're an adult. Like
it was an outrageous comment. And she, again, seemed just unaware. And they had to point out to her, you're saying that about an Asian woman, for God's sake, make the connections.
And I find it hard to believe that she didn't know that that was on the nose, that comment, at the very least.
Yeah. And
because when you think child bride.
Yeah.
And the way she said it, it wasn't a compliment.
No.
She was being shady.
Yeah.
I just think you had to know that was shady.
I didn't appreciate Kyle in that moment when Kyle was trying to back her up and saying, well, you know, when we say 12-year-old, that's the phrase that everybody goes for. Everybody goes for 12-year-old.
No, what? They don't. What are you talking about?
I know. And I just thought, Kyle, just wait a minute. You've just sat through Garcelle having a conversation where she's trying to school Sutton in the understanding of how attack comes off differently when you say it to her,
yeah,
then it might come off to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're playing semantics over 12-year-old.
Yeah. And Kyle should know.
Back
Kyle,
down, Kyle.
Kyle comes like to the defense of the weirdest stuff sometimes. I'm like, why have you decided to defend this? This is indefensible. Dorit knows it's indefensible. It doesn't have to be a huge thing that destroys Dorit, but she's got to take responsibility and accountability and apologise for it and not make comments like that going forward, which is where she struggles.
All Dorit has to say is, oh, Jesus, I fucked up there.
Yeah, just say, I'm really sorry. That was really ignorant of me. And I really need to pay attention and do better.
And what was Anna Marie coming to the defence of her over?
Anna Marie throwing Garcelle under the bus.
Do you know what I mean? They're on the same side over this, surely to God.
Kind of strange to sell out, you know, but I think she was almost challenging Garcelle for her black card. It was, I don't know, it felt strange. You could see Garcelle kind of going, what are you doing?
Like, yeah, what are you doing? But it's clear that Anna Marie has decided that she's still on Team Kyle.
Yes.
And she must.
And Dorit. She's decided Dorit is an ally.
Yeah. So in whatever situation she was going to come down on their side, they've decided that this is the side they're playing. Clearly they're on that side of the couch. You know, we've got it laid out for us in front of our very eyes. And it's just
so
a
ridiculous.
Dumb move. Have you learnt nothing through the process of this
series?
They
don't know, do they? This is the hardest thing about the Housewives. Is you go, okay, she's apologised for that. Okay, so she's learnt from that. And then you watch it and you're like, have you learnt nothing?
Yeah,
why? Two things that I need these people to do, and of course it's the fact that they don't that makes this such engrossing television, is one, own it,
yeah,
as Lisa Rinna would say, take accountability when you mess up and apologise sincerely. Yeah. And second, learn from it and don't do it again.
Do not do it again.
But of course, if they did do that, why would we want to watch them on television?
Yeah, I know. We don't really want them to
learn. I want to watch people behaving, you know, reasonably. I can go to my local cafe. I don't want to see that.
Yeah, I know. It's a double-edged sword. Anna Marie, what do we think about her whole portion where we found out that very sadly she'd lost her mother, Jane?
Very sad. And, you know, I've been there. That's an awful thing to happen. And
why do we think she didn't share it? Because it might have given her a very much needed empathy key.
I think she should have shared it because a lot of people have gone through that and a lot of people would identify with that. And perhaps then there would have been more explanation for why she was coming in so hard and clumsy.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I don't think it really excuses bad behavior.
No.
You still... You know, if you can't function as a member of society, stay in bed.
Yeah.
You know, and like I say, I've been through that. I still had to go out and go to work and deal with people and behave properly.
I don't think it changes your beliefs and attitudes, does that?
But I think it perhaps explains a bit of the clumsiness and a bit of the harshness that she wasn't in a great place and she was very preoccupied and that she was keeping this a secret. And perhaps if she'd opened up to the girls about it, and a lot of them have been through it themselves, particularly Kyle, for example, like they would have understood that and been a bit more warm and receptive to her.
I think they would have given her a bit more grace. I'm sure as an audience we might have given her a bit more grace.
Yeah, I think,
and
so
warm to her a bit more if we'd understood there was another dimension to her.
But it she's would... still driving me nuts with her lack of accountability. She still won't acknowledge. She still flat out lies and said, "I didn't insinuate Sutton had an eating disorder."
Oh, she
we
so
saw
did.
It. We saw her say, I mean, does she have an eating disorder?
Yeah.
That is insinuating someone has an eating disorder. That's raising a question that's so damaging. If Sutton does have an eating disorder, which I don't believe she does, she says she doesn't. But if she did, that's even more hurtful and damaging. You're not helping. This is not through concern. You're just gossiping and being bitchy. You know?
You're absolutely right. And I just don't know why. I think all I can imagine is that the weight of the criticism from social media has been so overwhelming to her that she's just got that mindset of person in an argument that they think if I admit to something, the social media attacks will get worse.
Yeah.
Which is arguably, it's the opposite.
Yeah. Because all anybody wants is to watch them go, like sometimes I actually think, they've apologized. It's over.
Yeah. You know? Totally that. They want the fight. They want the fight, don't they? The social media wants the fight.
It's very much like. This is needs to realize. This is what Larsa needs to realize. Once you apologize, it's over.
Drop the rope. The rope. It's like they're going to stop chasing you. There was a time when I was chased through Hyde Park by a whole flock of Canada geese.
That sounds terrifying.
It was terrifying, and I'm really scared of birds, but I had some bread and they'd got sight of it. And I remember the kid's dad at the time, and it's very much this visual metaphor. I was charging across Hyde Park, being chased by a load of geese, and my partner's shouting, "Drop the bread!"
That's exactly what it is.
This is Sandoval. Exactly what it is.
Sandoval, Larsa, Anna Marie, drop the bread. But they won't. They won't.
They won't.
They're just going to keep
on
running
to that
with
loaf.
Their bread, wondering why we keep charging at them. But,
yeah.
Oh, dude. Yeah. She's not very. I don't know, that she's not very warm. There's something about the way she argues that's very, she doesn't listen to Crystal.
No.
She just like blindly says no to every point Crystal makes. And I thought Crystal acquitted herself quite well.
I thought Crystal did quite well. She also like held up her own, like, you know, I've got $100 million business with my coconut water.
That was great as well, because Dorit had to say, well done.
Yeah, I know. I thought she properly parred them with
Dorit,
that.
Dorit, you need to stop insulting people before you know what you're insulting them over.
Yeah, she's actually very accomplished. She's
so
got.
I think I'm the only educated one here. And they all went, excuse me.
I know. Everyone put their hands up. No, we've all got degrees. And she's actually independently wealthy.
Ugh. Yeah.
I fucked up again. So that was kind of, yeah, quite impressive from Crystal. I don't know where we're going to go with Anna Marie. I think they'll keep her for another season. What do you think?
I think they might keep her for another season. I wondered when they brought up her mother passing, if that was them greasing the wheels for another season a little bit. I don't mean to sound so cynical, but I think it was kind of like, look, let's give her another chance. Yeah. You know, like the fact that they brought that up. And
she's
really. That there hasn't been such a divisive housewife. I mean, maybe Diana, actually. Diana was pretty divisive. But I think Anna Marie's, like, everyone just had an immediate, shut up. Why do you care about her esophagus? And it was such a weird, silly thing to be so obsessed with.
And that
I wouldn't
the one
be surprised
thing...
if. And also, if they're going to keep Kyle, which they probably will, Kyle needs an ally.
Yeah.
So that's she'll the... be in the Dorit, Kyle, and Anna Marie camp.
And she did drop the esophagus loaf. She has dropped that.
Good God. Yeah, she won't drop the eating disorder bread, though.
No,
eating
she
disorder
won't drop
BAP.
That. She needs to drop that particular BAP.
Yeah.
She annoyed
me, but she did not annoy me as much as Kyle did. Kyle actually said that Dorit put her in a difficult situation by bringing up Morgan. And it's like, sorry, didn't you appear in a sexy music video with Morgan?
Yeah.
Don't pin this on Dorit. You're the one that showed yourself tattooing your initial on her, fed her fruit on camera in a kind of semi-erotic way, and then starred in a sexy music video with her. Dorit going, you're very close with Morgan, aren't you? Is not what started this.
No, absolutely not. I did feel for Dorit. I mean, as much as Dorit is living in her bubble and needs to wake up, Dorit seems to be the butt of all of everybody's ills to some degree.
Yeah. She's kind of an easy target because she is so ignorant.
Yeah, but
like,
with
I think
Kyle,
Garcelle would like to let it go with Dorit, but she keeps dropping clangers.
Yeah.
You know.
But I think you're right. With Kyle, Kyle's problems are Kyle's problems. They're not
Let's
ignited.
Call a spade a Morgan Wade.
Let's call a spade a Morgan Wade.
Let's call a Morgan Wade, you know. Like
absolutely that. You cannot drop it at Dorit's door.
No.
She has dug our own hole with a Morgan Wade spade.
You brought my marriage up on camera. How many times has Kyle brought up personal issues on camera?
Exactly.
How many times? So it's a classic thing if she can dish it, but she can't take it.
Did she think she was just going to have the whole season just talking about her going to the gym and making smoothies?
Like, and then allow, like she recorded several scenes with Mo where she clearly couldn't stand the sight of him.
Yeah.
And then, as I say, recorded lots of sort of very intimate tattooing her name on her body, feeding her fruit, intimate things with Morgan.
Yeah.
Like, oh, these aren't my shoes. These are Morgan's shoes. Like, why are the shoes in your house? Like, everything. She knew what she was doing.
Yeah, of course she did. She's been on reality TV for
so
years
then,
and years.
As you say, don't then leave it at Dorit's door. So I think Kyle's going to get, as Erica wished for, eviscerated. And to be honest, I am kind of here for it because if you rewatch, you might not get it on the first viewing, but if you rewatch any season of Beverly Hills, Kyle is a shit stirrer.
Yeah.
And she is not particularly empathetic to people's problems. And, you know, unless it suits her and her narrative and her allegiances, you know? So to be honest, she's annoying me. I'm sad that her marriage has broken down.
I'm very sad that her marriage is broken down. But I also thought they made some very strange editorial decisions, like you said. I mean, the editorial decision to have the scene where they tell their children on camera that mum and dad are potentially splitting up. I have to say, in my whole lifetime, and anybody who's split up with the partner who has children would probably attest to this, maybe one of the most difficult things heartbreaking things that your children will ever have to go through. Right. My children still remember that very moment that happened. And I would say it's traumatizing for them.
Imagine looking back on that and going, God, that was awful. My parents were married all my life. I'm in my 20s now. They sit me down to say that they're getting divorced and, you know, we'll never spend another holiday together. All the things that that means. And there were cameras there. Yeah. Recording my every reaction.
I would say that, you know, it was close on emotional abuse that particular moment. It was absolutely bloody dreadful.
The only thing I would say is that maybe Portia aside, they are all adults and they presumably knew what was going to happen and consented to it.
Bits. She was in absolute bits.
Portia's still in school, right? She's a teenager. So that doesn't feel right to me. But
it was grim. Unless my best reading of it is that that conversation had taken place before, and this was a repeat of that conversation.
Which but, I think is possible because they didn't look shocked, did they?
But judging by Portia's reaction, she was she was still in agony.
And I think it's kind of strange because Kyle has been so shady and guarded and veiled about all of her marriage troubles for, you know, 17 episodes, however long we've been watching the season.
Yeah.
And then that's the scene she chooses to put on. Yeah. It's like, is that for sympathy? Is that in a kind of, look how bad the kids are taking it, we shouldn't pry into her marriage sort of?
Yeah,
like
I thought it was a weird decision.
It's a deliberate decision.
She kind of justified it by saying, well, the People magazine article came out the day before and it just happened that the cameras were coming around the day after. But you didn't have to have that conversation the day after. You could have just sat and played bloody cards. Nobody made you have that conversation the day after.
Or you could have said,
because you were all out in the car.
What they should have said is, we told the kids last night.
Yeah, because they were all in the car together the day before, weren't they?
Right.
That's what she said. And they went on to have a nice day or pretend to have a nice day. At this point, there'd been rumours in the press anyway. What was it about the People article? Who put the People article there? Why was that such a line in the sand? I was struggling to really appreciate why the People article was such a line in the sand.
Yeah, I agree.
It just never quite made sense.
I think that was Carl's way. I think Carl needed something big. Yeah. And I think she needed to draw the line in the sand. So if you told me that she planted that article, I wouldn't be surprised.
No, me neither. And but, it was weird, wasn't it? Rob was doing his storyboarding.
I love Rob.
Yeah, I love Rob.
Rob
too.
Might be my favourite of the husbands.
Yeah, I really like him too. And that was a complete reach whilst I finished my rant on Kyle, where I can't stand when somebody gets you into trouble for a negative action rather than a positive action. So we see them all at BravoCon and some people stand up for Teddy Mellencamp, but then Dorit gets in trouble for not standing up for Teddy Mellencamp.
She didn't need to. Three other people had spoken in her defense. She doesn't speak in her defense. She's against her. Like, that's Kyle deflecting.
That is, you know, if you're in a friendship group and you're in trouble for not doing something, like I had an incident with my friends over something like this week, and we were in a group and somebody said something that was a little bit like, I don't really want to go into it because I might identify the guilty, but somebody said something that was a little bit off. Mm-hmm. One of us challenged it, a couple of us didn't. But you don't get the people into trouble who didn't.
No. And also, if someone else is challenging it or defending it or whatever,
it's being challenged.
And there doesn't need to be a pile on.
Yeah, like, exactly.
It's been established that that's not cool.
Like, exactly. So you don't do a pile on. You can't get someone into
Teddy
trouble.
What does Teddy have to do with any of this?
Yeah, you can't get into trouble. You can't get someone into trouble for not doing something. You can only get somebody into trouble for doing something. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's a complete reach, and I'd go as far as to say you're now picking on her, or you're picking at her for everything.
I noticed that she had this thing of Dorit and I, you know, weren't that close, and Dorit exaggerated our friendship. We went away like once together, like, you know, really trying to hammer home that point that she couldn't betray Dorit because Dorit's never been that close to her. And then in the same breath, you don't have a relationship with Kathy. It's me you're close to.
Yeah, totally.
But you just said I'm not close to you. So
totally that. And also, I thought it was a bit rude. It's like, well, she doesn't work out. Well, you don't fucking sit around and drink coffees. Why does she have to do the thing that you want to do?
Yeah.
Because you're because you're the main player in the relationship then, because she's you've the got the character. Status.
She's got main character syndrome, hasn't she?
Yeah. You're the main character.
But I just thought she looked shifty and shady the whole time. Like, she knows that, you know, after 13 years, the comeuppance is knocking at the door, I think.
Yeah,
and totally. She has demanded so much from her castmates in terms of transparency and openness and honesty. And she's not given the same the minute something serious happened in her life. She didn't share. She didn't open up. And she did try and produce it and try and direct it.
Yeah.
And the girls aren't going to stand for it. I don't think Andy likes it particularly.
No.
So now you've got to answer for that.
And here comes Kathy next week.
Giving Sutton a panic attack by the looks of it.
That's very interesting.
I'm interested to see what happened there. I don't want to speculate too much in case she was having a medical issue. But it looked like a bad panic attack, I think.
The way they've put it together, it looks like it's related to Kathy's entrance, whether it is or it isn't.
I reckon it might not be. That might be Bravo being thirsty with us.
Yeah. They might be being tricky. Shall we move to Miami?
Let's go to Miami.
Because he's a damn saint for listening to all the Lenny stories. It's a lot.
Lenny Hoxton. He's really disappointed me. Super disappointed me.
The hubris.
The outfits. Larsa looking like some kind of village evil queen.
She definitely was the Queen of Hearts. I felt like we'd gone down the rabbit hole with Alice in Wonderland herself. Yeah. The and Queen of Tarts.
Then you had Frida in the
Kahlo
corner.
In the corner, looking like the Virgin Mary herself.
It was all kicking off, wasn't it? It was all a bit nuts.
I feel like Julia just shouldn't be allowed anywhere near a dressing up box.
Yeah.
She wears everything.
I'm guessing. Do you know what, though? I kind of like it in the way that I just like what it says about Julia. Because in what world would she not, would you be on a Real Housewives franchise and not have a stylist and not be so concerned with keeping up with these looks? And she just doesn't care.
She doesn't give a fuck.
Leopard print trousers, whatever the hell it was, and
with a gold brocade jacket, with I don't know, a crop top.
So much going on.
It was making me feel slightly nauseous. There was a headpiece. There was everything.
Lots of headpieces in this reunion. Yeah, they all think they're a queen, basically. Don't they?
It was a queen off. I think Nicole looked great. She was looking blooming and pregnant.
Yes, congratulations to
Lisa. Lisa was basically wrapped in a bit of chiffon. She was naked.
She looked great, though.
I mean, she does look good.
To quote Carrie Bradshaw, that's the naked dress.
Yeah.
But for a reunion look, I liked it.
Yeah.
She pulled it off, I think. And she did look like the dancing emoji, which
she did
I'm
look
always
like
happy
the dancing
to be
emoji.
Reminded of.
And Alexia was probably more low-key.
Yes, Alexia was a bit more low-key, and Marisol had another one of those kind of corsets that we like.
Oh, I'm loving Marisol in a corset.
Regal corsets.
Yeah, I do like her in a corset.
It was good. It was all kicking off.
It was all happening.
Larsa maintains she has sex 5 times a night. What do we think
bullshit.
Of that?
Bullshit.
Bullshit.
Bullshit?
Bullshit.
Can you put some bullshit noises on? I don't know what you could do for a bullshit noise.
I guess Jacob. A ball and then something gross.
Yeah, get creative, Jacob.
Get creative, Jacob. Create us a bullshit noise.
Because we're not having that. And then saying
five times a night.
You must be dry.
Yeah. If you're not having sex 5 times a night, you're dry. I think you'll find it is you that is dry if you're having sex 5 times
a night. If you're having sex 5 times a night, you need some cream. You're like sore.
It's like an old garage or something. Like, dear God, show it some respect. Like, 5 times a night, it makes me want to cross my legs.
How snobbish are those two? Like, Marcus, he's so rude. These women aren't fit to work in our house.
Jesus Christ, Marcus can do one. Who even are you?
Son of Michael Jordan.
Now, they've broken up, haven't they?
Yes.
I reckon they'll get back together.
But there is some word on the streets. that things are not happy.
Also, so sort of choreographed the whole thing. Like, we have sex five times a night. We have a promise ring. We've picked out an engagement ring. Like, just be together and enjoy each other's company.
Yeah.
Stop shoving it down my throat.
Yeah, just don't have a podcast about it.
Called Separation Anxiety.
I know.
Occasionally you have to go and work for a few days.
Yeah, totally.
Sod off.
Can you imagine? He doesn't think they're fit to work in his house. Could you imagine how they treat their actual minions?
Also, has that got some racist undertones?
Possibly, quite possibly. And he said he'd never been on anything but a private jet until he was something like in his 30s. Is he even 30?
The thing is, if you're Michael Jordan's son, you probably wouldn't, because Michael Jordan's probably got 3 or 4 jets. So why would you? But don't tell people.
I know. But he's proud of it, isn't he?
He's really proud of it.
Like, I'm going to introduce him to Dr. Michael Mosley. That's smug prick.
It's clearly his identity, you know. And be together, be happy. But why is it everybody else's business to be happy for you?
And it certainly, she thought it was Kiki's big business, didn't she? She was absolutely furious with Kiki for some of her confessionals, because Kiki had said, you know, you bugger off every time you meet a new dick, which is true.
Can you imagine being single, being the, I think she's, is she the only one that's single in the group? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Adriana. But being single and your friend gets a partner and your friend won't shut up about the partner and you never see your friend without the partner anymore. Yeah. Like, this has all happened to us at some point in our lives.
Yeah,
hopefully when we were very young. But then hearing your friend say, if she wants to hang out with me, she needs to get a boyfriend because I'm not hanging out with her on her own. Can you imagine how that would sting?
Yeah,
that would insult me so much.
She doesn't care though, does she? Because she clearly just sees herself as above everybody.
And Adriana, it's also that thing of, like, she clearly believes that you're not complete until you have a partner.
Yeah.
Like, if you're single or on your own,
you're a loser.
Something's missing. You're a loser. You're incomplete. And that is so, like, you try and stamp this out of yourself when you're a teenager.
Yeah.
You know?
It's anti-feminist. It's anti-women. It's pretty revolting.
And it's also
stuff.
Just an unsupportive friend.
We had we had a roundup on who do we think the biggest shit stirrer is. It seemed to come out as Marisol. They all believe it's Marisol. They had a vote, didn't they? Who believes? Who believes that Marisol could hire somebody to stir the shit? And everybody sort of reluctantly put their hands up.
I think I don't think she's the most toxic one in the group, but I do think she stirs the most shit up.
She enjoys just putting something in the air and then just sipping on a cocky.
Yeah. She likes to just toss the grenade and watch the explosion, doesn't she?
Yeah, I think that might be her role. I do think that I don't always enjoy the way Julia does it, but Julia does call stuff out.
Julia can also be quite the shit stirrer.
Yeah. Yeah, she has been this season. She has been.
But I think the difference is when she does it, it's in a kind of playful, I know what I'm doing kind of way.
I think Nicole was right about what she said about Julia. Julia just tend to do it based on fact.
Mm.
Where
it's more calling people out, but she doesn't necessarily call them out to their face.
Yeah. Whereas Marisol just tends to come up with wild rumours that she's heard and in the air.
Or she'll just make an opinion that she knows, like Nicole's the one I trust the least, and then sit back and watch it explode,
definitely. We got into why Todd didn't come into the New Horizons. That was just because he didn't want to be taking the piss off for that horrendously long apology.
And fair enough, because that apology was awful.
There are speeches.
If I was in a room with him, I would corner him and be like, you're going to sit down for 9 minutes. We're going to set a timer and I'm going to talk at you for 9 minutes. You're going to see how weird it is, Todd.
There are speeches that have changed the world that have been taken less time than that.
That's so true.
I Have a Dream took less time than that.
Oh, my God. It's longer time than the entire of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Alexia split up with... Todd and Dorit split up with PK and Dorit and Todd get together.
Dorit and Todd? That's a long-winded combination. No one would get a
Can you imagine the marriage vows? Can you imagine the marriage vows?
God. Jesus Christ. Did we like Adriana's poem?
No. I thought it was weird.
I liked how Andy tried to sort of restore order and he went, that's a very pretty poem.
I think if you're going to do a poetry, you have to go through some sort of exam. There should be some sort of license.
You should be forced to, particularly if you're going to read it out loud.
Yeah, I think this should be some licensing. You have to have a license to drive a taxi. You should have a license to write poetry.
And recite it, for sure.
You've got to be at least a BTEC level 3.
Three years of work has to go into
3 years of work
before you get to recite it out loud.
It's nothing absolutely worse than someone turning up on your birthday. I'm not saying that this has happened to me on this birthday with someone.
Well, I know what I'll do for you next year.
Thank you. With a rhyming poem about how much they like you. You can fuck off with that. And then I have to read it out. And it's meant to be funny. It happened to me last year on the Messenger. And if anything, it's just awkward. Stop it. Stop sending people poetry unless you've been commissioned.
You're just too northern for it.
I'm too northern for poetry.
I'm southern. Someone writes me a rhyming poem about how much they love me. I'm in heaven.
And I'm going to regret this because I know you're all going to start sending me fucking poems now. Because what happened... when I said, I can't stand it when you turn up to my house with a crystal. He's one of my best friends. Now he's just putting crystals in my pocket at every available moment. And we're going to have to get a new fucking washing machine.
If you would like to send Nina a poem, please do find us on the socials at RH Guilty Secrets and get rhyming. She also loves a haiku, don't you? You love a haiku. Oh dear. Right, so we're looking forward to the next episode of Miami. Hopefully that's
We are looking forward to it because Lisa and Lars are fighting in the dressing room over the drugs allegation. So we need to finish off very, very quickly. There was a drugs allegation that Queen Larsa, Queen of Tarts, said that at Alexia's wedding somebody was taking drugs. She's insinuating it was Lisa, really, her best mate.
Yeah, she is really, yeah. Alexia or Lisa?
She's insinuating it's Lisa because I think Larsa and Lisa were fighting at that party, and wasn't she?
Oh,
That's what I was reading from it. I might be wrong. I'd be interested in everyone else's opinions. She was kind of saying, and if people want to carry on with fighting, there is things I could say to the press. And Nicole went and got a drug test. She was that worried about it because Alexia...
I love Nicole. Like, that's so what I would do.
Yeah. Alexia had sung like a canary. Went round telling everybody, going, I am the Barbie of this group. And I'm just like, and everybody know that Larsa has said she might go to the press if anybody tries to bring her down or talks behind her back. So we are now in the battle of the absolute titans where nobody, unstoppable force meets immovable objects.
Yes. So that's just going to be
Andy
a lot of shouting at a brick wall.
Andy just looks tired.
Andy
God
looks
love
exhausted.
Him.
We're getting back to my favourite Andy, which is my cards.
Yeah. I love Andy. Andy just looks tired.
He just looks exhausted.
We're sending our love to you, Andy. I know you don't listen, Andy, but if you did, could you send us some tickets to BravoCon?
Yeah, come on. Get us into BravoCon, Andy. Do the right thing.
Do the right thing. You know, you need a couple of cynical British women. That's what is lacking. Okay.
It's the one thing you're missing. Should we go to Potomac?
Potomac.
The rule can't change because it's social media. The line is always moving.
Okay.
Oh, these women are not worth the running eyeliner.
Necker accepts the crown.
Karen trying not to be angry is so beautiful. Trying to be gracious in defeat. And like you can just see the steam coming out of her ears.
Giselle's characterization of her as a witch with her nose and a wig slipping. That was quite funny.
Yeah.
And then Karen's rebuttal, it's not a crowning, it's a clowning. Look at me now.
It's pretty good.
It was pretty good with the clown mask.
She still really cares about the zip code as well. Like, NECA moving to the outskirts of Potomac, bless her heart. It's like, you're 59. Have more going for you than your zip code.
2.854, is that a very specific sort of grid reference? I thought it was maybe a grid reference to where they actually live.
Well, maybe.
I think that was in reference
like
to Beth. Yeah, I think it's in reference to where Giselle lives in Bethesda. So yeah. I think it was a very specific sort of.
I think we could find them. Let's get our shit together and go.
Yeah, let's get our shit together. Right, Andy, if you do not send us with tickets to BravoCon, we're on our way to Potomac. We now
We've
have
got our
an
own
address.
Way in.
Yeah, totally.
Candace with the great insults again. She called Giselle a raggedy petty bitch.
I've got that written down right in front of me. Raggedy
so good.
Petty bitch. Giselle has nothing going
week.
For her. It was brilliant.
Insult sex. Of the week generally goes to Candace, doesn't it?
Yeah. Sex game. What did we think of the sex game?
It made me very uncomfortable.
But do they have to keep doing these sex games?
I don't know. I don't like it.
The screwing a rapper, that was quite interesting, wasn't it? So Giselle very pointedly called out Karen as being a hypocrite, saying, if I'd gone after your marriage like last season, you said I was a homewrecker, you said I was doing all this to you, and now you're being a hypocrite because you're going after Mia about the rapper.
Right.
And Karen is saying, aha, but the difference is I'm doing it to her face, not behind her back, which I always think is a weird defense.
A weird
it's
line
like,
of defense.
It's a weird defense.
I stabbed you in the chest, not the back.
Yeah, totally. It's still damaging. I sort of feel like it's the defense that we made at high school and nobody's ever challenged. And then she also went, so I'm doing it to her face, not behind her back. And also I have invited her into this group. So she owes me, so she should be in deference to me. And then Mia turned around, and I love how cool and calm Mia. Mia is like a cat.
She is. Very languid.
Yeah, Mia is like cat incarnate, isn't she? She just went, well, that's fine, because I have dirt on you. And we can go there. And then Karen Huger just piped the fuck down.
She did, didn't she? So there's dirt out there that scares Karen.
Yeah. So we've got this weird thing going on with Karen and Mia. That's boiling away. And the other thing that's now boiling away is that we have Giselle's daughter, Grace, is going off to college in Florida, which is a Republican state.
Wendy rolling her eyes when Giselle laughing was talking about
out
her daughter.
Loud.
That
she
really
laughed.
Upset me.
In her face.
That really upset me. It's like, well, Grace is going to see this and Grace has done nothing to you, you know?
And she's going to a black university, isn't she?
Right. HBU, Historically Black University.
A Historically Black University in Florida. That's where Grace wants to go. She did a lot of research into it. And the rest of the, there's clearly some, like, I don't know enough about it, but there's clearly some fears around being a black student in Florida State, given everything that's going on with the primaries. And there's been some deaths there. And of course you would be worried for your black child. I completely get it. So why are the other women laughing in her face and rolling their eyes?
Right? It's made me really uncomfortable. But then Wendy drives me nuts.
She needs to join Marcus, Michael Mosley.
Yeah, smug as hell. Nobody cares that you're educated. It doesn't mean you're a good person.
Yeah, totally. It doesn't trump, does it?
No.
Well, we shouldn't bring Trump into this. No, he's the last.
But, like, I'd rather have a friend who's a good person than a friend who's a PhD and thinks she's above me. Like,
100%.
Nobody's watching this, like, impressed.
No.
Nobody's in awe.
And I tell you what, I'm not sure Giselle picked up on it quite as much as Robin did, because Giselle was talking and Robin was observing. And Robin obviously is riding for a friend, Giselle.
Yeah.
And I think overnight Robin's had a word with Giselle, because by the next day Giselle was fuming.
Because Giselle didn't clock it at the time. And then I think Robin said to her, you know, they were taking the piss out of your daughter.
Yeah.
Giselle went, what? So I think at the reunion particularly, once she sees that back on camera.
Oh, she's going to go mental.
She's going to come flying because you don't come for the kids.
You don't come for the kids. So this ain't over till it's over. But I do think, like you said last week, that we now have stuff playing out on camera.
Which is what Potomac sorely needed.
Yeah.
So instead of them discussing about who tweeted what or what they've heard, they're actually doing it to each other on camera, and we're seeing it and we're seeing the reactions live. And that's what the show needs.
It is late in the day. But at least it's getting there.
It's getting there. I have high hopes for next week.
So thank you, Potomac. We have high hopes. Let's quickly have a roundup
of Vanderpump Rules. Naomi's favorite.
You're a worm with a mustache.
My cards.
Graham Cracker is back.
Can I say something I actually thought was sweet? And God knows these are few and far between. The sweet moment of the week was when Ali actually considered Rachel, we're calling her Rachel now, Rachel's feelings, and said, if I lost everything and then someone took my cat from me, you know, she actually, her first reaction was, oh, poor Rachel, this is horrible.
Yeah.
Like, and I thought that was a real like green flag to her character. Like, what a nice girl. That even though like
is.
There's nothing for her, she has no need to consider Rachel's feelings or care about her at all.
No, and
but
it's
she
quite...
was literally like, oh God, that would suck. And it's like, there's a natural empathy there that we do not see in this show.
No, she's probably on the wrong show.
She like, might be.
I think you're right. And I think she did acknowledge, didn't she, that it's quite hard for in some ways to have had all this drama and now suddenly the dog from the past relationship is coming back to live with them. It's almost like the stepchild. It's almost like the child he had with another woman.
It's baggage, isn't it? As adorable as the dog is.
I was listening to Raquel talking about this on a podcast with Bethany.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I think there's quite a different story about this dog. I think James was involved in getting rid of this dog.
It's possible.
So James, I think, now we'd have to do more research. I think this dog bit them and they rehomed the dog. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is Raquel not looking after the dog.
And that's the story Sandoval actually told. He said the dog was biting and they tried to find a nice home for it and, you know. That was the last he'd heard about it.
This, the prodigal dog.
Yeah.
That's returned home, you know, after being rehomed by Raquel. The prodigal dog has returned. I'm not sure he's being completely 100% transparent.
I think he might be, but I think Lisa Vanderpump isn't.
But is James admitting that he was part of the rehoming process?
I honestly don't know.
I don't know whether he is.
We'll have to see how that plays out.
Yeah.
I like LVP a lot, but I think this kind of reeks of an LVP setup.
Yeah, I do as well.
Because of all the dog rescue centres, it happened to come to Vanderpump. Like,
yeah, it's got something going on, hasn't it? It's too good to be true that your dog just arrives home.
So I've got a sentence that sums up why I hate Tom Sandoval.
Go.
Sentence he said this week, and it's probably not going to be the one you'd expect because he said a lot of irritating shit this week.
Go.
It was when they went shopping, the two Toms went shopping for Tahoe, and Tom Sandoval said, I'm kind of vibing with this hat. And I threw a slipper at the television.
Did you?
It's like, you are such a wanker. Like, I'm kind of vibing with this hat. What? Get a job. Go and get a job, Tom Sandoval.
He's seven.
He's just, and he actually said at one point, and in fairness, this should be the one that annoyed me, but for some reason, the vibing with the hat thing, that I just broke. Something in me snapped.
Yeah.
But actually, he actually said, I wrote it down, a direct quote from Sandoval. I feel like they're expecting me to come in and grovel at their feet and beg for forgiveness. Yes. Yes, Tom Sandoval, they are.
I'm showing you.
You did a terrible thing, Tom Sandoval.
I'm showing you what I wrote. I wrote that, that sentence with a massive yes.
Yes, that's what I wrote. Like, yes, Tom Sandoval, you did a terrible thing. You need to apologize. He's so... And then when they did the hammer exercise.
And he just did stuff about him.
And he, no, he just did stuff about them. He was screaming, la, 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 at one point. Yeah, yeah. He called them scumbags and cheaters. Like, so he's, it's still.
He screamed out worm.
Worm with a mustache. Worm with everything, a mustache. Everything that had been done to him.
Yeah.
Nothing that he had.
Motherfucking Scandoval. James Kennedy.
Yep.
Scumbags.
Scumbags and cheaters. La, la. Yeah.
She stood there. She stood there.
Oh, she's going to come for him for that. I have no doubt she's coming for him for that. Yeah. But like, he's still, when he thinks about the situation he's in and Scandoval and everything, blames them. He still thinks it's Lala's fault and James's fault for getting the merch and making the most of it and talking about it online. Mm-hmm. He literally thinks it's their fault, not his.
I do think
and that is so weird.
I do think merch is a bit far.
I like he wouldn't be doing it. That's the thing. I wouldn't merch somebody's miserable, someone's misery, but I think Tom Sandoval would do it in a heartbeat.
I've just had a horrible realization. I've just had a, you know, when you have an epiphany.
What have you done?
I think that's what we do.
We need to make t-shirts. We're sitting here in our glass house juggling with rocks.
To be fair, we make no money out of this.
We do make no money. This is just purely for pleasure, which is, I think, worse.
We get fun out of people's misery for pleasure.
He honestly thinks that Scandoval and the way that his life has turned upside down and the fact that he's seen as a villain is because of La La James and everybody else in the group. He doesn't think it's because of his actions.
I know.
And that's borderline scary. That kind of narcissism, you know.
It is borderline scary. I felt like, because we had such a good chat about this last week, it was really interesting because I was thinking very much about you as he was doing all these things and I was going, Naomi's right. She's right. Look at him.
Naomi's throwing a slipper at TV.
Yeah, he's doing all the things that she said he'll do and he just won't fall on his sword. And then he doubled down like on that when he took James to one side and James said the thing that you were saying, that you were the one that held up all the values that I trusted right. in, that you were the person in the group that people could go to, and out of everyone nobody yeah. thought that
the
you...
level of hypocrisy with this behavior coming from you is what's
massive.
Made it so huge.
Yeah,
when Jax cheated on Brittany, there was not this furore.
Mm.
When you, who have been for 10 years shoving your morals and accountability down everybody's throat, behave this abhorrently and then don't really apologize. Even though his first reaction to it was, please don't hurt my business. He didn't apologize to Ariana then.
No.
You know? So I just,
what
he drives
I did
me
hear
nuts.
Amongst-
and, sorry, but I'll tell you something else that I noticed this week is he's doing that kind of humble, I just want to thank you guys for being friendly to me. Like, I'm really happy to be here and stuff. But like, he's behaving kind of humble and, you know,
but do
human.
You think it's performative?
It's performative because inside he's full of resentment and rage to these people.
Yeah.
So he's still not being apologetic. He's just behaving a bit humbled in the hope that it comes off as apologetic and people will.
I was hoping it was humbled, but then as soon as he started talking about, I've just got this meditation person coming in, yeah, because I'm sober now, and I just thought, it's not coming off as authentic.
No. Nope.
My bullshitometer's going off.
A bullshit?
You can do your bullshit noise again if you want to.
Thanks, Jacob.
Whatever
we might
you've
be
come
needing
up with.
It. Yeah,
whatever
you come
magic
up
you've
with.
Created.
Yeah.
But oh my
the
God.
Only thing I did notice, and just to, I think I'm grasping at straws now to try and back up my theory. The only thing I did notice was when he was talking to James, he did mention that he blew up his life trying to get out of a relationship and he'd gone too far down a road and he didn't know how to get out of it.
Mm-hmm. It was the first time we saw a bit of honesty.
So he did mention that. I'm not forgiving it. I'm not forgetting it.
But he acknowledged it.
But he acknowledged that him and Ariana had become a brand, and that they were too entangled, and he didn't know how to entangle it, disentangle it.
Yeah.
So he blew it up.
Yeah.
In a completely cowardly and horrific way, without any thought for anybody else.
Yeah. And the thing is, now he does. He ironically needs to do exactly what he thinks it's outrageous that he should be expected to do, which is come in and grovel and beg for forgiveness.
Drop the bread.
Sheena is drop the bread. Sheena is desperate to forgive him.
Yeah.
Sheena's desperate to forgive him. And Lala's being a lot more, I mean, until he screamed Lala when he threw the sledgehammer at that, he's going to come for Lala because Lala loves calling people on their bullshit. So she's had a time.
Lala went hard on the socials when Tom.
She did.
And she didn't really have skin in the game because her and Ariana were never that close,
right.
Actually.
It wasn't a betrayal. She was, of all the cast, probably the one it was the betrayal of less.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Her and Ariana, I mean, she said it to Ariana even like the first episode of this season, I think, where she was like, Ariana, I'm never really sure how you felt about me.
Yeah.
She wasn't in Ariana's inner circle. Ariana wasn't reaching out to her after this happened.
No.
She was pretty much kind of satelliting that group.
Yeah.
But she went in so hard on it.
But I think having that's because Sandoval's gone in so hard on her and he's been the moral police, you know?
Yeah, probably. But also Lala having been in the situation where she was part of a marriage wrecking situation,
right,
where
she took it personally.
Yeah, but Lala, you know, was with her ex, what's his face, pickleball man?
Randall.
She was with Randall. And whilst he was still married, and she was heavily attacked for that in the media and by her friends. So Lala has been in this situation, and I think there is some sort of resentment over.
Well, last season, if you remember when they had tea at Lisa Vanderpump's house, Tom Sandoval was actually screaming across the table at Lala, "You're not transparent about your life. You don't share your life. You know, there's all kinds of shady stuff going around with you and Randall and blah, blah, blah." And he said she should know better than to have a baby with a guy like that and stuff. Like, he's come for her hard.
Yeah,
he's been pious about it, and he's been the morality police about it.
Yeah.
So to then find out that he's doing this.
Yeah.
No, you don't have to be close to the players involved to still be like, and you were coming for me?
Yeah, totally, totally. And she's somebody that's able to speak her mind here, but she did go in extremely hard.
She did. She milked
it.
Because I was listening. She made the most of it.
I was listening to her podcast throughout.
And it was all she talked about.
It was, that was what her podcast was about.
Yeah. But I also think that, you know, Sandoval went in hard when her engagement to Randall collapsed. Do you know what I mean? I don't think she owes him anything.
No.
And I think these guys are all, they're all kind of weirdly savvy on they recognize an opportunity. This was people who had never heard of Vanderpump Rules were talking about Scandoval. And she recognized this is a chance to make money. This is a chance to be relevant in a different sphere, you know?
Yeah. And they all went for it.
I don't particularly hold her to charge against that because she wasn't close to him. She didn't hang her friend out to dry.
No.
But
her relationship to the situation was slightly removed.
Yes. So that's why he's taking it so personally. But he's clearly going to come at her next week. We saw it in the coming up for not being honest about her life, which is so just peak Scandoval, peak Sandoval. You know?
He just
for him
do
to
himself
come at anybody this season about not being honest or transparent is weird.
Yeah. He can't see the wood for the trees. I just feel like. It's just like, fall on your sword. Just listen. There are mitigations here. You just can't see them. You just cannot see them. And nobody's, you know, we're just human beings. Just say sorry.
Yeah.
Be sorry. It's not enough, is it? Be sorry. Just be sorry. Be sorry.
Yeah. Be sorry. Understand. Be sincere.
Yeah.
And be grateful that people like Sheena, who ended up with a restraining order.
This is the person I feel the most sorry for. You know? I really feel sorry for Sheena because I think she's been hugely manipulated now. Sheena ended up with the restraining order. She went very hard on him in her podcast, but I felt like she had the right to do so. She ended up, you know, she's got
Ariana's
a small child.
Best friend, and Sandoval was one of her best friends.
Yeah.
And she was put in the middle of this situation. She'd been defending Raquel blindly for a season, not knowing what was going on. And then she got slapped with a restraining order and court dates and stuff when you've got a small child and, you know, and you're in the public eye.
And it really exacerbated her mental health.
And accused of violence.
Yeah.
And when you're in the public eye, that's not funny. Like,
no.
Vanderpump Rules has sacked people for...
Yeah. She could have lost her livelihood. She could have
could have lost a lot.
She could have had problems.
And then Vanderpump takes her around and goes, by the way, if you're not nice to him, he might kill himself. So, you know, get over it.
And now she's got, we see her having that FaceTime with Ariana, and Ariana's not going to accept that for a single moment. And I just feel really sorry for her.
So here's a question. If your partner did what Sandoval did to Ariana, if your partner did that to you, and then your other best friend was like, I still want to hang out with your ex, and I want to forgive him and I want to be friends again.
It would be really tough.
Could you be cool with that? Because I think I would have to cut these people, anyone connected to them out of my life. That's how I cope.
It's happened to me. It's happened
really,
to me.
Really, yeah.
Yeah. So, gosh, how was I with it? Not great. It was very, very difficult. We had, they were godparents to our children. Yeah. They were very, very close to our kids. And therefore, they were seeing both sides. They were seeing both of us. And it was very, very difficult.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
I think in fairness, if Ariana's going to be on this show, she's got to recognize Sheena's position. She's got to recognize Sandoval's not going anywhere. She's going to be expected to be in the same room and at the same events with him. And you can't really expect everybody to blank him. But in real life, if it was me, I would never be speaking to that guy again. And I wouldn't really want anyone in my life that still hung out with him.
I know, neither would I. But it's so difficult when you come out of
this. So I get where she's coming from, but you're on a show.
Yeah, totally. You're on a show and you're part of this very incestuous friendship group.
Yeah. The other thing is, if it was me, I would have left. I would have left the show. I would have been like, I can't be in a room with this guy. I'm going to have to leave the show. I'm sorry. I literally would have.
And when you become part of these very incestuous friendship groups, I just think it's really difficult because it's inevitable.
Right. I mean, Schwartz made out with Raquel. We're about to find out, apparently, in the coming ups that Schwartz made out with Sheena.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Bo and Stassi were in the show, they had that history with Jax.
They're young, horny, sexy people. What are they going to do?
Right. And they're being encouraged to do, you know, intermingle. So,
if you're 50-year-old, you know, no issue. It's fine.
I am.
But you're that age, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
And I have to say, I am clearly Team Ariana. However, I think if you are going to stay on this show, which is a decision she's made for at least this season, then you've got to accept that not only are you going to have to be in the room with him and be at events with him.
So are they.
But everybody else isn't going to blank him and treat him like crap forever.
Because
there should be some forgiveness. Depends the people in his life should forgive him.
Yeah, the show depends on them being all together. And in real life, people wouldn't cut people out completely. They just wouldn't.
No. She went through a mini version of this with Kristen.
Yeah.
She couldn't stand being in the same room with Kristen.
No.
And she had to get over it, and she did.
And as much as we want that, as much as I would want that, as much as we would, you know, humanly want our friends never to talk to people ever again.
Right.
That's not what happens in the real world. It doesn't. I think it happens for a period. There's a period of loyalty. There's a period of mourning. And then I think there's this messy
period.
Gotta
get on with life, yeah. I think it's kind of interesting because they don't have children, right? So if Sheena and Brock broke up, or even Lala and Randall is a good example, Lala and Randall broke up, they're still going to be in each other's lives because they share a child.
Yeah.
So it becomes quite messy, and you do at some point have
to... You have to.
as Brandy became friends with Leanne Rimes, and they hang out at Christmas and Thanksgiving together you have to get through it. What's interesting with Tom and Ariana is they don't have kids, but they have this group of friends like their kids.
which speaks to what you spoke to last week. And I know we have to wrap this up because we're going on a bit. But you know how they're making the argument, well, this is different because we're mature people in our 40s, 30s, 40s. We're not kids anymore who just sleep around behind each other's backs. Okay, so if you're going to make that argument, you are mature people in their 30s and 40s that have houses, that have children, that have dogs, then you're going to have to behave like mature people. And you know what mature people do? They fucking work through it.
Forgive and forget.
I have to see my ex. We've got kids together.
Right.
We go to funerals. We go to events. We go to graduations. We share our children's highs and lows together.
Absolutely, yeah.
You've got to find a way through it. That's life.
And the thing is with Ariana, she doesn't have to. They don't have kids. Mm. She can quit the show and never see him or anyone who associates with him ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And she does actually have she's on Broadway right now. It's been extended. It's hugely popular. She's got Dancing with the Stars to back her up. She'll work now. So she doesn't need the show. She could quit the show. She could walk away from this. If she's not going to, she needs new boundaries. Mm-hmm. So if I was her, I think I'd say to Sheena, like, look, if you want to hang out with Sandoval, I can't stop you. However, two things, never bring him up to me.
Mm-hmm.
And never expect me to get along with him.
Mm-hmm.
I will be civil if we're in the same room at your birthday party or something, but please don't keep him as far away from me as possible.
And it's going to sting. It's going to really hurt her. It's going to sting, but I think she's going to have to find a different way to process that. And I don't know what that is. Maybe it's counselling, maybe it's whatever, but she's going to have to find some way to process it. And it's going to be fucking hard for her.
It's going to be horrible. And I have complete sympathy because I would hate to be around someone who had done that to me. And I would hate to see my friends pally
but if
someone
you
who
are
had done
in
that
a,
to me.
But if you are in a show, they can't pretend he doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to happen.
And she has the freedom to walk away from the show if she wants to.
Yeah,
she's not tied to him by children or anything else.
100%.
So, right.
That's
well,
our
busy
take.
Week.
That's our
busy
take.
Week.
I know.
Do talk to us on the socials at RH Guilty Secrets. Ask us any questions you have. Also, Nina and I have very, very empty, sad lives, which is why we do this.
Yeah.
And when you leave us nice reviews, and people have been doing that, and we love it so much. Really,
we do. And it
brings a little ray of sunshine into our pathetic little existence.
And it allows other Guilty Secret fan clubbers to be part of this very bespoke
community
underground world,
safe
space
for your shame,
for shame, for you know, living off other people's misery. It turns out, as I had an epiphany today, not even living off it, you know, just enjoying it,
just making time for it every week.
Yeah, just kind of some voyeuristic fun. It's deeply shameful, it turns out. We have loved sharing this time with you. We have been the Real Housewives Guilty Secret Fan Club.
See you next week.
Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by Nina Gilligan and Naomi Cooper, edited and produced by Frog and Bucket, with the music Spoilt Brat by Ruth.